Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, my friend, hello. Just called to let you know.
Thank you, Neil. I've been singing that all day. Hello again, my friend. Hello. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. A blessed Epiphany 2017 to you. It's been a little while since we last connected. So welcome to the very first show of the new year, episode number 84. I don't even know where to start. I am dying to talk about the new year. What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you thinking about? What has the Lord placed on your heart? Or maybe you are just so full from the holidays, physically, emotionally, spiritually, that you are just kind of sitting on all of that right now and waiting for some things to settle before you begin thinking about the new year. And that's okay too, but we're going to dig in a little bit to that on this show. Also want to reveal the winner of the $25 Amazon gift card giveaway that we shared at the end of the year, our last show of 2016. And we've got the big reveal coming up on the program today, as well as, if we have time, a recap of my own Christmas season, which was far from Norman Rockwell perfect. I'll just say that. But for me, a great lesson learned for me personally, which actually ended up being the best gift of the season. So we'll talk about that and feedback and more. So that's coming up on the show today. But as we begin, it's our first prayer. We always start that way. So let's do that together. It's like a brand new blank page as we start the year. And I love that. You know, I say it in my talks. I think about it every day. And especially at the beginning of the new year, it really is like a brand new, fresh blank page, but every day is like that, and how our good God is so merciful to allow us to begin again. And that's what we're doing. And also to kind of connect it, this January, on the 1st of January, was the 125th anniversary of the opening of Ellis Island, the gateway to America. And so that opened in 1892, and over 12 million immigrants, people were processed through there in New York, starting a new life in the United States, risking everything for the promise of a better life. And so for most of us, for all of us, I would guess, we are the fruit of that hope. Relatives whose lineage goes back through there, living the dream right now. That's what we're doing. So with that in mind, that's why I want to tie in also as we begin our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, you tell us in your holy word, I make all things new, all things, including us. Help us, Heavenly Father, as we set out to be a new creation in you, with an immigrant spirit to discover what lies ahead as we step off into this new territory of what the year will come. Give us new eyes to see your beauty, patience to wait upon you, a new strength that you will renew us, and a new hope that we may joyfully surrender to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So over the break, I received a message from one of my favorite people in the whole world, and that is Catherine. If you've listened to the podcast for some time, you know her voice. You've heard her on the show. And she shared in a very moving, touching Voxer message feedback about her own faith journey, going through many different faith traditions, finally feeling called to the Catholic faith, and not only called in a little bit, but a strong shout, then beginning RCIA this past year, and now this Easter, fully coming in to the Catholic Church. So that's going to be happening in 2017. And the next weekend, she's going to be at Arise. So she will be at the retreat surrounded by like 50 women that are spoiling her and just connecting together. So I thought it was the neatest thing then, as we begin the show, this very first program of 2017, for her to set the tone with this dream that she had. And this was a personal message that she left for me, but she did allow me, give permission to share it with you. And I think you need to hear it. So here it is. It's a prophetic dream and a little bit too of the mass as she watched. She'll explain what was on Facebook. So take a listen.
It's Catherine again. I forgot to tell you about the coolest thing that happened to me on New Year's Eve, but it was like after midnight. I couldn't sleep. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe three. And so I just went to Facebook. I thought because Facebook tends to relax me. I know it doesn't have that effect on just anybody, but, and I came across the live and in-person mass at the Vatican, celebrating the, the name, is it the Feast of Solemnity of Mary or something? I'm sorry, I don't recall, but it was the most beautiful service, and it was like a high mass, and it was maybe an hour and a half long, and it was just fascinating. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen on Facebook. I was just enamored, and I could not stop watching until the very, very end. And then I clicked off Facebook, and I fell asleep. And the beauty of the service just, I've never seen anything quite like it. I mean, it was, and obviously the people that were in the, sitting in the pews were quite moved as well. Pope Francis was did officiate, and there were people that were weeping, just weeping. And he spoke in Spanish, I believe, and I do understand a little Spanish, so I'd pick up a word here or there. I really didn't know exactly what he was saying, but I fell asleep right afterwards, and I slept until probably 7:30 in the morning, which was really quite something, because I never, ever, ever sleep in. But as soon as I woke up, I recalled a dream that I had had, a dream of Pope Francis blessing me. It was unreal. I can't remember if he put his hands on my shoulders or what, but it was just the most beautiful feeling. And I thought, wow, what a way to start 2017. Oh my gosh. So I don't know if you've ever experienced anything like that. You probably have on multiple occasions, but it was cool. That was like my first dream that I've had since beginning this journey home that was like, it was more than a synchronicity. So I just wanted to share that story with you. I thought that you'd enjoy hearing it. That's all.
Wow. 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 I mean, such a divine message. And I'm so glad that you talked about the mass, the liturgy, because I think like you were pointing out, Catherine, when you're there and you see the people weeping, you feel it. You feel the ages and the centuries and you feel Christ. So thank you for saying that and that blessing by Holy Father. I mean, is that just not prophetic or what? So thank you so much. And it's going to be neat to also hear the story, to hear you, Catherine, when you share it, Arise. And that's one of the things that I wanted to mention that we are going to do, because that's coming up this year too, is the retreat, is to this year do a little bit more of giving you the spotlight, the people who are coming to the retreat. And for me, last year, that was actually one of the most unexpected favorite things of the weekend was the first night that we were there and everybody coming in, most people not knowing each other and just giving a brief introduction. And I think we all thought it would be go up to the mic, say your name, where you're from, glad to be here, have a great night. Instead, it turned out to be this Holy Spirit blossoming of women sharing a little bit about who they are. And when you do that, of course, you can't help but feel a connection. So even by the end of that first night, you felt like these were all sisters, that vulnerability that was just naturally there. And so I think by doing more of that, it creates a stronger bond. So Catherine, I definitely want you to share your story at the retreat. And that's one of the, and you don't have to. I also want to mention that too. Don't feel like you have to, but I want to give a little bit more of an open mic time also, as an opportunity to share and connect as the body of Christ, to be able to inspire others as a sisterhood of believers. So that's one of another things that we're going to do at the retreat this year. And we have about 10 tickets left, and that is it. And I think every week I get an email or a message or a direct message on Facebook from someone asking a question. Do you still have tickets left? How much are they again? Do I need to get them by a certain date? So I know a lot of people are thinking about it, and I trust that God has written the names of 10 people on those tickets. It's just a matter of them claiming it. But right now, we have such a fantastic, exciting thing planned. And if you want to check it out, if you do want to go, if you're kind of on the fence, you just need more details, go to our show notes page, and it will link you to the Eventbrite site, and you can get all the info there.
The winner is...
Oh, I'm so looking forward to this. Winner, winner. Yes, we have a winner, a $25 gift card from Amazon. Episode 82, we kind of threw out the line, the fishing line to you as an invitation. Tell us about a time when you experienced God's peace, maybe in the midst of a storm or during a trial, because peace is not just the absence of war. It's not just the absence of turmoil, but it is a calm contentment, resting in Christ and feeling grounded in Him no matter what. And really, frankly, when you shouldn't, when you're thinking, wow, how am I so peaceful amidst everything swirling around me? And the reason I wanted to do that was kind of twofold. Number one, as a thank you for supporting the show. And we have a small but hearty, a small but mighty team of Podbean patrons who once a month, whether it's $10, most people donate between $10 and $20 to the program to say, I believe in you. This is a little extra to keep the show going. If you need to buy equipment, update your software, which I needed to do recently. So that was a blessing. Anything like that. And I didn't get a lot of new Podbean supporters last year, but the ones I have stayed. So I thank you for that. You are the backbone of the show and what keeps us going. And even if you only listen once every 6 months and maybe remember to prayer one time, just thank you. Thank you so much for being there. So this contest, in a little way, was just a small chance to tell you that and to offer something special. The other motivation behind the contest is to get us thinking, you know, with the new year, to remember how God has been with us, because we do not know what is around the bend. We have no idea what's coming down the pike for us this year, but we need to know that good, bad, whatever, God is with us and He remains with us. And by hearing stories of peace in the lives of other people, I thought that that would just be a really good reminder, even when we're confused, that He remains carrying us, kind of like the footprints poem. But your everyday, ordinary, extraordinary stories of that. So thank you to our winner. And the winner is, here we go, I have my little Golden Globes envelope, not really, but the winner is from New York City, Mary Miller Lamb. Congratulations, your story is fantastic. And what I love even the best is it was left via Voxer, so you can actually hear Mary's story in her voice. And I want you to hear the winning entry for the $25 gift card to Amazon. Here we go, check it out.
Okay, so you wanted to know about a time that God's message brought me peace. Well, you asked for it. On Thursday of this week, December, 22nd, today, I came home from doing a lot of shopping, a lot of Christmas Eve shopping, because I work Italian, so I have to make a fish dinner, and then Christmas Day shopping, because I make two dinners. I make the Christmas Day dinner, and I make the Christmas Eve dinner. Last night, I was out late Christmas shopping for our kids and my husband, and trying to get everything ready, and I had the tree up, and I came in with all my bags and stuff, and I put them down, and I looked around my house. We have just moved. We moved a couple weeks ago. Our house is a mess. Things are disorganized. There's piles everywhere. We've just barely managed to get up a tree, and I had the kids decorate it, and it looks about the way you would expect a tree decorated by a 10-year-old and 5-year-old would look. In other words, really great. You know, the books are piled up everywhere, and that's killing my little librarian's heart. You know, the house is a mess, pure and simple. It's just a mess. It doesn't look anywhere near ready for Christmas, especially after I heard you talking about nesting and how you're supposed to clean the house and get everything ready. And I just sat there, and I just felt like such a despair, because nothing looks like the way it looked when I was growing up, because I lived in the same house my whole darn life. My mother did everything. The house always looked beautiful for Christmas. Decorated perfectly, which we did in stages, a gorgeous tree. We had relatives coming over from far away. And it was always like this perfect thing. And of course, as a child, I never saw the work that went into it. It was always just this beautiful, perfect, glowing holiday. And I looked around my messy apartment, which is too small, and my mess of a decorations, and everything that was disorganized, and everything that was wrong. And I just felt like such a failure. All I could do was compare it in my head to this idealized Christmas that I, you know, just can't give my kids. I can't give them that idealized Christmas. I just can't. I don't have the resources my mother had. It's as simple as that. So I was feeling very down. And then I turned on your podcast, and this week's podcast, and I heard that beautiful prayer about Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and how Jesus was born into the fear and uncertainty of a stable, and how He was pretty much the savior of all mankind, the most special baby ever born, was not born in a nursery, He was not born, with doctors. He was not born with this beautiful baby shower. He was not born with with relatives standing around. He was just born with his mommy and daddy and God in the middle of the dung heap in the stable, because his parents didn't even have a home at that point, and they had nothing except their reliance on God. Anyway, it put the whole thing in perspective for me, because my kids certainly aren't living in a dung heap. They live in a very comfortable house with plumbing and central heat, and I think of the pile of beautiful gifts in the closet, and Santa Claus coming, and our beautifully messily decorated tree, and all the beautiful things we have sitting around in boxes, and the knowledge that we are not homeless, and we never will be, probably, God willing. And it made me understand. It got me very emotional, very choked up to think about Mary and Joseph and their fear, because their knowledge was not perfect. Yes, they knew she was having the Son of God, but they didn't know what that meant. They just probably knew they were cold that night. They were scared. Joseph probably didn't know what was going on. I'm sure, he didn't know how to help Mary have a baby. He just had to do the best he could. And there were animals there, and it smelled. It was far from sanitary. And they didn't know what was going to happen in the next 24 hours. And when the angels showed up, they must have just been, wow, so flabbergasted, they probably didn't know what to do. Anyway, that prayer just really got to me, and it made me really see Jesus in Christmas. And it brought me peace and a further love of Jesus. So I just want to thank you. It meant so much to me to hear that prayer. All right, Merry Christmas, Brooke, and Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, Mary, I love it. Beautifully told, beautifully stated, and I wish, I hope that you had just an extraordinary holiday. I know I didn't get a chance to follow up as I wanted to, and I'll explain more why coming up later in the show, but God bless you, and I just pray for your year ahead as well. And I also want to mention an honorable mention, too, because we received, first of all, so many great entries, so thank you. One in particular is kind of a runner-up is from Alabama, and that's Barbara. And she says this, Brooke, my peaceful moment came because I lost my job. Don't get me wrong, there were plenty of tears shed and a lot of anger and depression. The whole time I was going through those feelings, though, I knew somehow it was a good thing. I just had to wait for my heart and mind to agree. A few weeks ago, I actually said out loud, thank you, God, for allowing me to lose my job. He knew it's what I needed, even if I did not. I knew I had come to total peace when I wrote my boss a Christmas card and I thanked him for laying me off. Wow. I wonder how many people could do that. And you know what, Barb? I could do that maybe a year or 6 months after I lost my job, but you so quickly losing your job, be able to turn around and do that, that really is a grace. That's amazing. She says, I did not want him to feel bad for his decision. I also thanked him for being such a great boss for the past 23 years. I have such a sense of peace about it now. God is good all the time. I hope you and your family have a truly blessed Christmas and many more blessings in the new year. Thank you, Barb. Wow. God bless you, Barb. God's grace. I mean, and grace is something that we cannot give ourselves, a patience, an understanding, a moment of strength that is beyond us. But God, in his mercy, through grace, gives that to us, and he did. So God bless you, Barbara, and we lift you up as you begin a new year for patience, for clarity, and for open doors, God willing, in 2017. Thank you so much, ladies. And Barbara leads me into what I wanted to share about my own Christmas season. As clumsy and awkward as I'm sure it will be, I wanted to kind of take you into a little bit of my own journey that was unexpected, and there yet God's peace was, but I did not enter the contest. Nevertheless, in the moment of going through it, did not feel peace. But here's kind of what happened. So, and maybe you got a glimpse of this if you listened toward the end of the year, because there were some bumps in the road and just dealing with different kids. All the boys, all the children, Carolina included, are growing up. So with that comes different challenges, attitudes, behaviors, things that you have to try to nip in the bud. But when kids are older, it can get a little bit more challenging. You can't just put them in timeout or do some sort of quick fix discipline. It's really in the trenches and it's tough. And so the last couple of weeks before Christmas, when they were on break, I knew that it was going to be challenging. We had reached a point in our family where the more the kids were together, the more they would fight. And that is something that's really heartbreaking for any parent, because you try to foster an environment of love, mercy through how Jim and I respond to each other, unconditional love and faithfulness and prayer and holiness among us as a family. And despite all of that, just feeling like there is a bad spirit in here that needs to be exorcised out of the house. And so those couple weeks before Christmas, when we were on break, I thought, I want to go and keep the kids busy and allow them to work on crafts or do something as a team. I don't want them to be on devices or bickering, because sometimes instead of working together, they just tear each other down, and then somebody gets in a fight and it's this whole cycle. So I bought some things for them to work on that all developmental age levels could do, from Gus to Gabe, 5 to 15. And that was a little bit of a bust. They would fight over the materials. And then finally, the day that it all came to a breaking point was when I had bought this little nativity, and you kind of put it together as a foam puzzle piece. You build it, and then you put the Holy Family together and stickers and things like that. So my oldest was the one that was in charge of doing this. I made him the commander because I thought it would be good to give him something to do, the responsibility, and kind of test him a little bit. How is it going to be as a leader? And it was a bust. It did not go well. He was not happy. He wanted out of there. And I came in at one point. I was making cookies in the kitchen, and he was fitting this piece together, but it wasn't going. So he took out his pocket knife. He's hacking away at this. I'm thinking, I said, what are you doing? It doesn't go. It's user error. You need to find a different piece. But all he wanted was to get out of there. So in my frustration, I grabbed the knife. He pulled it away, and it sliced my thumb. And in that moment, it was like it was my heart. I mean, my heart was just so broken that even this we could not do without some sort of issue. And I'm feeling like this is the Jerry Springer show. And I don't mean to be melodramatic. I mean, every time I sit in a group of moms and I hear different challenges, I think, I wish we had those challenges, because having a special needs child or walking through my friend who lost her child, everything changes. And the things that you used to think were a big deal, the stuff that used to bother you, it just doesn't anymore. But it doesn't mean that we all don't have stuff that is difficult and challenging. And for me right there, that was it. And he felt so awful. He was in tears. I was in tears. And it was for us a turning point. We had a family meeting. My husband was just amazing. I love the way that the Holy Spirit can minister to us through people. And he was that pastor of our family at that moment, and just talking about the spirit of Christmas. And before that meeting, I was thinking Christmas morning might be a bust as well. They might wake up and not be happy for the presents that they have, look at what they didn't get, because we purposely, by design, well, financially too, but also wanted to have a small Christmas, scale it back. We got an air hockey table that someone gave us, so that was super cool. Thumbs up, because it was free, but it looks like new. So you know, when that happens, it's like a miracle. A Christmas miracle. And we did not get anything electronic. We got a combustible engine, a working combustible engine that you could buy that my son could work on, because he's into that sort of thing, building. And for Carolina, we got a little sand table. And that was a little bit difficult for me too, going through the holiday season. And I realized I just couldn't be on Facebook. And I hope that you know when I say this, we all go through different emotional ups and downs in our life. I celebrate the sisters that I walk with, the people that I know, but it doesn't mean that it isn't painful sometimes to go on Facebook, even if in our mind, we know that everybody has stuff and everybody's going through things and no one's perfect. But to see all of these families feeling like they're doing it right, they're able to do the Jesse tree and to do all these great recipes and to have their kids right in the mix making cookies with them. And mine don't even want to be in the kitchen. I mean, they're boys, but I have friends whose boys love to cook and they're right there next to their mom. And just feeling like, you know, every year is different and we don't know what next Christmas will be. We were going to take my mom to a movie, and because of the kids' behavior, that didn't happen. And I cried myself to sleep, because I thought, maybe, what if this is her last Christmas, my last Christmas? I don't want to say that about my mom, but you just, we don't know what each year will bring. And so at that moment when we had this family meeting, it really was kind of going back to the peace idea, God's peace washing over all of us. There were some things we talked about that are difficult to confront in families, certain behaviors, habits, tendencies that we need to look in the mirror and face ourselves. And so as a family, I think those are the moments that you can be mighty, when you can come together, sit down, and have an intervention of sorts where it's an emotional recognition that something's got to change because we're going down a path that's very, very dark at the moment. So it really was a blessing. And it was a difficult thing also with Carolina and the ornaments that we have on the tree. So many of the things I made as a little girl or my kids or my husband, even putting them up and over the years learning the techniques of how is she not going to get the ornaments, her finding things, her breaking things. And that's just part of our life. It doesn't mean that I love her any less or that we don't celebrate the joy and laugh every day, but it also on a daily basis comes with challenges. So there was no family picture, no Christmas cards, no Norman Rockwell oil painting, but there's also God's grace in detachment and surrender and knowing that He holds our family. And as long as we're faithful and gather around and adore Him at the manger, that He will sustain us. In this year, for me, I didn't care about anything that was under the tree because I felt like I was losing my family. And I have to say that since that meeting and since that difficult week, it has been wonderful. So by the grace of God, we wandered in the fields by night, following that star, even though we couldn't see, and finally made it to the manger where He was with our family all intact. But it did also remind me that so many people struggle over the holidays, and it really can be difficult for so many people. So if that has been you or your experience in any way, God bless you. Boy, did I do some praying when I was in those moments and also went to adoration. It's kind of become a tradition and an accidental beautiful tradition to go to adoration on New Year's Eve, because there is no other way that I want to begin the year than before the Blessed Sacrament and adoring God, who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, as we end one year and begin another. And honestly, that's as far as I've gotten. I haven't made any big resolutions. I haven't done anything big or exciting to change my life or my diet or our house or anything. It's just been survival mode. We had family visiting, my mother-in-law and my beautiful sister-in-law and my nephew and my brother and my mom. So it's definitely been just for me a very full season, literally, figuratively, everything. And now just embarking on a new beginning. So I would love to hear your tips, because I'm just now trying to get my bearings. But if you feel like you've had a really good, strong footing as you start this year, I'd love to hear it. One of the books that I'm reading that I started, because every year, you know, you have a new opportunity, I think, with the break and then starting fresh to say, okay, I'm going to do a new Bible study. I'm going to do a new book. Right now, I'm reading Resisting Happiness. Have you heard of this? It's a Matthew Kelly book. It says a true story about why we sabotage ourselves, feel overwhelmed, set aside our dreams, and lack the courage to simply be ourselves, and how to start choosing happiness again. This was a book, I don't know if it was at your church, but in our church, our pastor, however it works, bought 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 copies. So everybody, when they came to Mass on Christmas Eve, was given a free copy. Isn't that great? And we still have some left over. So it might have been just an opportunity that was offered to churches, but this is a portion of what the back of the book says. It says, are you overwhelmed? Do you procrastinate? Do you sometimes feel like you are your own worst enemy? Are you ignoring your dreams? Have you lost the courage to truly be yourself? Do you feel that your life lacks meaning and purpose? Do you find yourself avoiding the real issues in your life and focusing sometimes on the superficial? What is resistance? It is that sluggish feeling of not wanting to do something that you know is good for you. It's the inclination to do something that you unabashedly know is not good for you. It's the desire and tendency to delay something you should be doing right now. So anyway, it just goes on to say, every moment is a chance to turn it all around and to kind of take an inventory of our lives and some of the ways that we sabotage our happiness and what to do about it. So at the moment when I read it on Christmas Eve, I was just like, hallelujah. you. I was so needing that at that moment. And it just was one of those where, okay, I don't have a choice. I have to read this book. The neat thing is I also now started reading it with my oldest. So that was a blessing and a grace as well. So it's Resisting Happiness, Matthew Kelly. It's kind of my book pick of the week. If you have one that you're reading, I would love to hear it. What are you watching right now? I know at the end of the year, we talked a little bit about this. And so the shows that we were watching was Longmire, which we finished now and I loved, and I'm actually starting to watch it again. I know that's pathetic, but because I like it so much. And then also The Crown. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, if you are not watching The Crown, I so highly recommend that, and just a lot of different layers of goodness about that. A friend of mine also told me about Poldark. I haven't watched that yet. And then, oh, The Man in the High Castle. Finished watching that too. Now, that is a very, very different show than the others. It's very dark. It does have some language in it. There's definitely some mature themes because, and we've talked about it on the program before, it's about what our country, what the world, frankly, would be like had Hitler won, had Japan conquered when World War II ended. And basically, it takes us into an era where the Nazis control the East Coast and kind of half of the country, and then the Japanese have the West Coast, and then a little bit of pockets in between, there is the neutral zone. But you can imagine with a plot like that, it's not like it's very cheery and bright and a lot of musicals. It's definitely a different kind of show, but I recommend that too. So if you're watching one, if there's a movie that you love, let me know. We really want to start the year well armed with a good arsenal of great things that will enrich us and help kind of launch us into the first quarter of the year. So you can send an email. It's feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Also on Voxer, you know that makes my day. If you get a chance, you can leave a Voxer message. It's Brooke Taylor and the number one. There is so much going on this year that I want to tell you about, and from events coming up, like I'll be in Texas. If anyone listening in Texas is around the Lewisville or the Grapevine area, I'll be speaking there at a Catholic women's breakfast. It's called Magnificat, and it's going to be on, what's the date? I think it's January 21st. Let me double check that. Yes, it's Saturday, January 21st. And then if you are in Ohio, Ohio friends, February 18th is the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. Boy, oh boy. The lineup is amazing. And really, even if you are in like Kentucky, this would be a good one to go to. It's at the Expo Center, and the speakers are Magnus McFarlane Barrow, Jeff Cavins, Carrie Caviezel, the wife of Jim Caviezel, Taylor Tripodi, who, by the way, is going to be at our Arise retreat, and she's going to be here with 4,000 women at this conference leading worship. I'll be the MC. So yeah, again, like 4,000 women gathering for this one event. It's going to be on February 18th. The website is columbuscatholicwomen.com. I'll also be in Buffalo coming up in March. And then, of course, in April is our Arise retreat. And hopefully, God willing, my new website that has been in the works under construction since September is going to finally be done in the next week or so. And so all of that will be laid out under one roof, because I had kind of everything scattered in different places, from my blog to St. Gabriel Media, then to the podcast, and it all kind of needs to be in one place. So once that's done, hopefully, God willing, I can share that. If you're interested in any of these events and want to hang out with some of these amazing ladies that are going to be speaking, and find out where that is. So God bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for beginning 2017 together as a community of Good Things Radio. Congratulations to Mary. Thank you to Catherine for sharing about your dream. And thank you, thank you, thank you to my most amazing producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his faithful, his amazing skill. Anything you might need production-wise, video-wise, anything that you're recording, he is a man who wears many hats, a master of all trades. You can find out more at cumminghomestudio.com. And I want to leave you with a thought from Francis on his epiphany message of 2017. He says, longing for God draws us out of our ironclad isolation, which makes us think that nothing can change. Longing for God shatters our dreary routines and impels us to make the changes we want and need. Longing for God has its roots in the past, yet does not remain there. It reaches out to the future. When we feel this longing, faith leads us to seek God, just like the Magi did, even in the most distant corners of history. And so, going back to the beginning of the show, as immigrants here, pilgrims, as we travel the road of our days and the paths that He puts our feet this year and the years to come, may your longing lead you to find God and be filled and changed by His peace. God bless you. And until next time, friends, have a great week.